I want you to look again, Psalm 36. And specifically, I want you to notice six words in the text that lead us into our main text, beginning in verse 5. Thy mercy, O Lord, is in the heavens. Thy faithfulness reacheth unto the clouds. Thy righteousness is like the great mountains. Thy judgments are a great deep, O Lord. Thou preservest man and beast. How excellent is thy loving kindness, O God. Therefore, the children of men put their trust under the shadow of thy wings. He shall be abundantly satisfied with the fatness of thy house. Thou shalt make them drink of the river of thy pleasures. I think you get the picture here. It says, God's mercy, what's it say? Way up into the heaven. God's faithfulness unto the clouds. God's righteousness like the mountains. God's judgments deep as the ocean. God's loving kindness. How excellent, another superlative, God's pleasures flowing, he says, like a river. In other words, all of these glories and all of these good things from God are described correctly as exceeding our needs, our expectations, and our merits. So that what David says in verse 9 sort of summarizes all of his thoughts. Look at it, verse 9. For, or because of this, with thee is the fountain of life. And in thy light shall we see light. I want us to think and I want us to talk this morning about life. And specifically, I want us to look at the fountain of life. This very fountain of life that emanates from God Himself. After all, everybody knows that life is made up of both blessings and sorrows. Everybody knows that there is both sunshine and rain in this present world, mostly rain for us this summer. But David himself, who wrote this psalm, also wrote psalms about his afflictions, his trials, his heartaches and tears. He also wrote the first half of this psalm. And you know, in part, what's significant and powerful about this psalm, when you take both halves, is that David sees the difference between the two, between the sorrows of life and the pleasures of life. David realizes, and through the Holy Spirit, he contrasts the difference between blessings and burdens. And basically, the difference is this. With God, there are rivers of pleasures, but only cupfuls of sorrow. In other words, in comparison, there are mountains of blessings, spoonfuls of burdens. So that for the child of God, it's really a matter of looking at both the good and the bad in this life and then realizing their true measure. Their true measure. That's what I want us to do this morning, very carefully, as we speak on the subject, the blessings and the burdens. Let's pray. Father, please help us. Help us to recognize, dear God, that you want us to sing when the waves are crashing around us, because we have so much to sing about. May we understand that a little clearer today, according to your word, in Jesus' name. Amen. Three things I want you to notice in the text this morning, this wonderful psalm that I hope and pray will help all of us to have a much clearer perspective on all of the good and the bad things that we all experience in life. Verse 9 says, you'll remember that God is a fountain of life. He says also that there are, quote, rivers of blessing from the hand of God. And again, according to this text, there are some very powerful application to this. The first one you'll notice, number one, is that in the Christian life, that is, for the child of God, number one, the blessings are broader than all the burdens. Look again at Psalm 36. Now, most of you have noted in the past, I'm sure. Psalm 36 is a contrast. Verses 1 through 4 talk about the wicked and those who try to live without God. Verses 5 through 10 talk about God and those who take their life from God. In other words, you would think that the contrast would be first the wicked and then secondly the righteous. That's not the contrast. It's not about us. The contrast is first the wicked and then God and how good God is to us. One is a description of the blessed, the other a description of the burdened. Now already we have noted the superlatives the Holy Spirit uses in verses 5 through 9. These are the broad multitude blessings of God for His children. What about that contrast? What superlatives does David use when he talks about that describes the wicked? Look at it and let's read it. See if you find any. Verse 1. The transgression of the wicked saith with my heart that there is no fear of God before his eyes. For he flattereth himself in his own eyes. You ever hear the expression, don't flatter yourself? It comes from the scripture. And the wicked are very good at flattering themselves. I don't believe in a fairy god in the sky. I don't believe I can do that. I can do what I want. The wicked love to flatter themselves. For he flattereth himself in his own eyes until his iniquity be found to be hateful. The words of his mouth are iniquity and deceit. He hath left off to be wise and to do good. He deviseth mischief upon his bed. He setteth himself in a way that is not good. He abhorreth not evil. And the next verse says, thy mercy, O Lord. And so it goes. Verses 1 through 4 is a bleak picture. And you'll notice that without using any creative creation metaphors about mountains or fountains or heavens or rivers or clouds, life without God is none of that. Life without God is all down here and burdensome. By the way, verses 1 through 4, that's a description of you and me without Christ. The first half of this chapter, ladies and gentlemen, is us without God. Thankfully, we are not left in this mud hole. Because in the rest of the chapter, in the six different things that we read earlier about God, God's love and mercy, God's faithfulness, God's righteousness, God's light, guess what? All of these are described as being provided to his children. Here it is, in abundance. They're high as the clouds. They're high as the heavens and the mountains and deep as the sea. They flow like a river. They spring up like a fountain. God's goodness, it is always, always abundant. This is not the nature for God's people of life's sorrows. For the Christian, life's sorrows are not broader than life's blessings. You say, well, Pastor, in my life they are. My financial problems are a bigger mountain than my financial blessings. You know what? That perspective, that sentiment is exactly what's wrong. You see, here's what we do in the flesh, the carnal flesh. We take our little cup of sorrow, and it may be a very bitter cup indeed. But we put that on the scale against one area and only one area of blessing, the corresponding one. In other words, money and financial blessing are just one of the ways that God is good to us and maybe one of the cheapest of all of God's gifts. But you see, folks, the word fountain there in verse 9 indicates a fountainhead from which flows a river of countless blessings. So that, you know what? If you are struggling financially, then don't just measure that burden against a financial blessing and say, well, my life is just no good. Measure it instead against the entire river of God's goodness. I'm struggling to make my house payment, but my name is already written in heaven, in a house eternal in the heavens, not made with hands. And my table on earth here with food is plenty full, and my health is good, and my sins are forgiven, and I live in a free country, and my children are healthy, and I'm loved eternally by my God, and so it goes. You see, some folks long for a single blessing they don't have, and thus are oblivious to the multitudes of blessings that they do have. This is one of the common and tragic mistakes of Christians in life. It is the mistake, beloved, of focusing on a narrow view of God's great blessings, choosing to, for example, of just considering one thing, maybe money, maybe it's their health or a relationship, as the central blessing in life. Last Sunday morning, we had a mother and son visiting here from Guatemala. Little boy has no arms. One of the tragedies in Guatemala today are the exposed electrical wires that so many children grab a hold of over there and lose their hands or their arms or their lives. In this case, when the boy grabbed a hold with both of his hands, his mother instinctively grabbed him to pull him away, and she lost the use of both of her hands, making it almost impossible, very difficult for her to care for her now armless son. And so she was here, and she's here in the States now to get surgery on her hands by a very kind doctor. That boy, even if you saw him last Sunday morning, but if you've seen him out and about, he is a wonder to behold, because you know something? Without arms, he smiles and he laughs and he runs and he jumps and he plays just like any other boy. This is a boy who hasn't learned yet to focus on just one sorrow or burden in life. In fact, typical of childhood, he doesn't even focus on just one blessing of life. He looks around and he sees many, many blessings. And ladies and gentlemen, it is the wise Christian and child of God who sees all of the good from the fountainhead and from the river of God's blessing. I remember years ago, there was a preacher in Michigan. He had five children at the age of 12. Sweet kids. They were very well trained, and one day, he said, they were all sitting around and eating ice cream as a family and enjoying it. Suddenly, one of the kids started talking about how great and awesome it would be if all there was to eat every day was ice cream for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. And of course, they all chimed in. That would be so awesome. Wouldn't it be great? Ice cream all the time. The dad, being the kind of dad he was, thought this is a teachable moment, okay? He said, really? Would you guys really like that if we just had ice cream all the time? They said, yeah! So that day, guess what? He went out. They all went out. And they filled up their freezer with ice cream. Lots and lots of ice cream. Next morning for breakfast, kids were thrilled. Ice cream for breakfast. And the mom said, eat as much as you want. And they ate it up. Soup bowls full. That afternoon, they noticed the aroma of mom's famous baked muffins. And man, they smelled good. Started to reach for one, and she said, reminded, your lunch today is ice cream. And so they thought, okay, ice cream. And they ate it. That night for supper, all of their enthusiasm for ice cream was gone. Mom and dad were eating lasagna. And one of the girls named Mary, she said, Mama, I'll trade you my ice cream for a piece of bread. What girl trades ice cream for a piece of bread? Well, the one who only and always has ice cream. Ladies and gentlemen, we serve a God whose goodness is described in this text in superlatives with metaphors of abundance, mountains and rivers and fountains. As a child of the living God, you cannot, you must not ever focus on one good thing at the exclusion of all the good things. Proverbs 25:16, the familiar verse says, hast thou found honey? Eat so much as is sufficient for thee, lest thou be filled. In other words, as good as honey and ice cream is, it's not the only blessing you have. And listen to this carefully. In the spiritual realm in the Christian life, it is especially, especially not good. And it is not right for you to ever take your sorrows and measure them against one or two corresponding blessings. Put it to you this way. The next time you want to count your burdens, let us say it's a burden of a difficult marriage that you may be in. Put that trial that you're in on the scale. But on the other side, don't just put the absence of a good marriage and say, well, my life is ruined. You know, going around all the time and looking at other relationships and other couples and constantly comparing and complaining yours to theirs. No. On that scale, put all that God has done and put all that God is doing and put all that God will do, because anything that he's ever promised, it's as good as done. Put all of that on the side. Put the grace of God on the scale. Put the fact that you can walk. You're not in a wheelchair. Put the abundant provisions you have of food and clothing and a house. Put your eyesight on that scale and the simple fact that God gives you air to breathe and sunshine and friends and family and eternal life and His Holy Spirit and His Word and a sound mind. I don't know if you've been watching these refugees that are fleeing from ISIS and this horrible group of religious fanatics that are killing people because they're Christians, because they make a profession not like theirs. But they're in mountains. They're in the deserts. They have no shoes. They are wandering. No home, no job, no food, no water. Thousands of them right now up in the mountains running for their lives. Their children are dying by the hundreds of dehydration. So yes, water is a blessing. Put that on the scale. Put all the goodnesses of God. I mean, folks, we drink from the rivers of God's pleasures. With God, there is a fountain, the Bible says, of life. And it is true this morning, as a Christian, the blessings of life are broader than all the burdens of life. You say, Pastor, really? I'm supposed to be thankful for the air that I breathe, that I can breathe? I tell you what, go with me right now to Jupiter Medical Center, and let me show you a couple people that are struggling with every single breath. And you'll get on your knees and you'll thank God for your health. That's not all. The second thing I want us to consider is that, number two, the blessings of life are better than the burdens of life. Not just broader in that there are more, which there are, but also better in that they are eternal. Notice again the contrast. Verse 5. Thy mercy, O Lord, is in the heavens. Thy faithfulness reacheth unto the clouds. Verse 12. There are the workers of iniquity fallen. They are cast down. They are not able to rise. In other words, one's going up, the other one's going down. Or, to put it another way, look at chapter 37 across the page and verse 9. Evildoers shall be cut off, but those that wait upon the Lord shall inherit the earth. Now, folks, I want you to think about this for a moment. Because you know what? Even if you have lost the perspective that life begins, that life's blessings are broader, more innumerable than life's burdens, the truth still stands. That life's blessings are also better than life's burdens, because when, after all, that disease, that burden you have, that's temporal. But God's love for you, that's eternal in the heavens. That tear in your eye, one day, the Bible says, God Himself shall wipe it away. That tear is temporal. But your name written in heaven shall never be wiped away. Now you think about that. All of the bitter cups that are bad in your life, whatever they are, eventually and will forever be gone. But all of the good things in your life, every good and perfect gift that comes from above, those things last forever. The Hebrew word for pleasures in our text is the plural form of the same Hebrew word in Genesis, the word Eden. In other words, we will have Eden that is everlasting. And much of the everlasting Eden we already have right now. Our problem is we don't really believe that. We do not fully appreciate the meaning of the word everlasting. A couple of weeks ago, we at VBS, we passed out these big bags of candy. In these large bags of candy, there's a variety. And included in the variety are these little boxes called Everlasting Gobstoppers. Little jawbreakers that Willy Wonka said are everlasting. They never lose their size and they never lose their flavor. So I have a question, then why put 20 of them in a box? You see, Willy Wonka lies. Those kids polish those everlasting things off in 10 seconds. It's sort of like Everlast batteries. Have you ever noticed that Everlast batteries have an expiration date on them? You say, Pastor, that's because everlasting doesn't really mean everlasting. It doesn't when man speaks it, but it does when God says it. God says that the life that He gives, even there in verse 9, is everlasting life. Because what did Jesus tell the woman at the well? Verse 9 in our text says, "For with thee is the fountain of life." I'll say, Jesus said in John 4, "The water that I shall give shall be in him a well of water, springing up into everlasting life." Now, wait a minute. Everlasting death? Not for a Christian. Everlasting burdens? Nope. Everlasting tears, everlasting sorrows, everlasting problems. No, none of those. But life and blessing and mercy and light and loving kindness and pleasures, all everlasting from God. Again, the blessings are better because the blessings are forever. I was reading the book of Revelation some time ago, and it occurred to me how God presents the glories of heaven to His people. You'll all remember how Revelation 21 and 22 describe heaven. No tears, no death, no sorrow, no crying, no pain, no need of the sun or the moon. Why? Quote, for the glory of God and the Lamb will lighten it. And then it says, quote, the gates of it shall not be shut at all by day, for there shall be no night there. In other words, God says that eternity will be like perfect goodness suspended forever. You've had a moment in your life, I'm sure, of perfect peace. This moment at this time, or just perfect unbridled joy for a moment, perfect love. And you know, in some of those moments, you thought to yourself, I wish that I could make this last longer. This amazing sunrise. If it could just stay just like this. You know, one day, that perfect joy, that perfect peace will last forever. That's why the blessings are better than the burdens. Because the blessings ultimately are forever. You think about the perfect sunset, the perfect moment with your child, the perfect fellowship with Jesus Christ, the perfect meal or joy or kindness, or to get really spiritual, the perfect golf shot. Barry, use your imagination over there, I mean. Can you imagine the very best moments of God's goodness on earth destined for all of eternity? A couple weeks ago, David showed me that the sign language sign for wow is you take two W's and you do this and you go, wow. You mouth it. And I told David, I said, you know, that looks kind of funny. And I said, I'm going to preach a sermon one day where I just say, wow, 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 wow. When he's signing, he's not signing. He's fortunate today. Because we're talking about heaven. You know what we're going to do in heaven? We're going to see the river of life and we're going to say, wow. And we're going to see the throne of God and the glories of God and we're going to say, wow, 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 wow. And I'm going to get you on the next sermon, David, when David's here. I'm going to title my sermon, wow. You see, the blessings are better than the burdens. They're broader than the burdens. Finally, number three, I want you to notice the blessings for the believer are brighter than all the burdens. Look at verse 9. For with thee is the fountain of life. In thy light, in God's light, shall we see light. What's that mean, Pastor? Since God is light and since his children walk in that light, therefore the Bible tells us we see. There was a time we didn't see. Read the first four verses of this chapter sometime or another and find out what it means to be in darkness. That was us. So you don't walk outside of this service today at noon and light a candle in the parking lot and say, I lit this candle so I could see the sun. No. The sun is the light. We see it by its own radiance. It illuminates everything else. And as a Christian, we don't need the wax candles of New Age or superstition or vain philosophy in order to see God, nor to see ourselves. I did not see the Lord Jesus Christ by the light of myself, as Deepak Chopra teaches, but I see myself by the light of Jesus Christ, and in his light shall we see light. And guess what? That's exactly the way it is with God's grace and God's goodness and God's blessings. They are always brighter than whatever darkness you find yourself in this world. The scripture says his grace is always sufficient so that however dark it is, however gloomy the picture, the blessings of God are always brighter than that burden. If you've ever been in a really dark building, totally dark room, even if it's a huge room that is absolutely filled with darkness, then you know how much darkness is instantly dispelled by simply lighting one candle. A lot of darkness. One light of God's blessing and truth is always brighter than a thousand lies and burdens of darkness. In fact, think about this. The reason that a multitude of martyrs who were burned at the stake or tortured or humiliated throughout history, and some even today, the reason that they were able to sing like Paul and Silas at midnight or pray like Stephen in his darkest hour. The reason for that miracle of grace is that even in the darkest of night, they could still see the light of God's faithfulness, the mercy of God, the righteousness of God, the judgments of God, and the loving kindness of God. They could still see the light of our Lord Jesus Christ, and so can you. Because, beloved, the blessings of God are always, always brighter than the burdens. I want to remind you this morning of something you know, but that the Holy Spirit no doubt needs to speak to your heart about. That no matter how dark your world and this society ever becomes, as long as you walk in the light, the good is always brighter than the so-called bad. God's grace is always sufficient, and that is part of the Christian's hope. I used to read the Peanuts cartoon years ago, and I remember reading one where Lucy and Linus were watching TV, and Lucy says to Linus, "Go get me a glass of water." Linus looked surprised and said, "Why would I ever do that? You never do anything for me." And Lucy said, "All right, on your 75th birthday, I'll bake you a cake." Linus got up and headed for the kitchen, and he said this in the cartoon, "Life is so much more pleasant when you have something to look forward to." Well, guess what? We really do have something eternal to look forward to. It's not pie in the sky, the opening of the people of Karl Marx. We have reason to hope, and may I say, not just on our 75th or 85th or 95th birthday, not just even for heaven's glory, not just for the obvious that's in eternity, but even tomorrow on Monday. Even this afternoon after church, in this life, in this world, there is a ray of light in the darkest night. When you sit down to eat a meal today, wherever it is, if it's Chipotle with the Collins, or CR Chicks with the Griskevitz, or Kentucky Fried Chicken, wherever you sit, if it's at home, and you sit down and you eat that meal, think for just a moment about the reality and the truth that every good gift comes from above, that that meal would be the best meal that most of the world would ever have. And be reminded that God's blessings are brighter, God's blessings are broader, God's blessings are better than all of the burdens of life. Our problem is that the flesh is always fixated and consumed and preoccupied with burdens over blessings. 100,000 airplanes can land safely and take people to a desired location, but the only one in the news will be the one that didn't. They call that, quote, news, but there's nothing really new about it. It's human nature to want to see the one thing. Can I tell you something that's new, truly new? The Bible says that His mercies are new every morning. When upon life's billows you are tempest-tossed, when you are discouraged, thinking all is lost, count your many blessings. Name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord hath done. They sang a moment ago, God wants to hear you sing when the waves are crashing. Yes, He does, because that gives Him glory. That shows who's in control. It shows that you can count your blessings and name them one by one. There are Christians right now fleeing for their lives. There are some true believers threatened right now. Not just religious Christians, but true Christians, some of them, that are singing songs of praise and glory to God in the Middle East. The only way that that's possible is that they see that what comes from God is brighter than what comes from the world. And they're better because it's eternal. May we see that with faith as well. Our Father in heaven, thank You for Your word today and for Your presence. Thank You, Lord, for all of Your promises, dear God. And every day I pray that our spiritual eyes will be wide open, that we will always put on the scale the measure of Your goodness and Your blessing, the fountain, the rivers. You provide us with so much, dear God. Forgive us. For when in our flesh we only focus on that which we do not have at the moment. Give us strength to be testimonies to this lost and dying world out there, that we will share what You have given to us to those who are lost. We praise You for the fruit that remains. In Jesus' precious name, amen. And amen. Glad you're saved. Amen. Greet our visitors. See you tonight. God bless you.